Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Mind Your Business. Joining me for this conversation is Adrian Abraham. And you're going to love this conversation, Adrian, because, you know, you see a rapid rise in the mobile gaming market here in Southeast Asia. And naturally, there are a lot of people that are keen to capitalize on the growth in this region.
Yeah, of course. And as a gamer myself, although not very much into the mobile gaming, but I can understand the hype because whenever you're walking around Singapore in the MRT, you just see everyone playing games.
It's so true. Yeah, it's so true. And then there was that whole Pokemon
craze
that was going on. Well, ASEAN is one of the world's fastest growing games markets, and global research firm Statista estimates that revenues for the mobile games segment in the region will reach something like $3.48 billion this year, year-on-year growth of 16.4%. Plus, it's been reported that the number of mobile gamers in the region, the population here is what, 670 million. That's expected to hit 122.8 million this year.
Mind-boggling numbers.
Indeed, indeed. Not only that, according to this analytics firm, App Annie, Singapore spent over $332 million on in-app purchases in 2019, the second highest in the region for mobile game consumer spending. You know, you really start to wonder how this market can be tapped. Well, and what are some of the gaps that could potentially be filled? On the line with us this morning is Jamie Lewin, who is co-founder and CSO of Mana Partners. Jamie, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
So, I'm fascinated by the mobile gaming sector. You guys, in particular, are an esports venture builder. Tell us more about this. I've never heard this term, esports venture builder.
So ultimately, a venture builder is the type of company that will develop their own platforms or technologies or companies, which then get funded by outside parties. So in the case of ourselves, our first venture was actually a consultancy, and that consultancy aids brands in discovering and defining their strategy, role and tone of voice when it comes to engaging with players. And so we help them to discover things like esport teams or tournaments or even to develop their own IP in terms of potential partnership. And the second venture that we've got is yet to be launched. We're just heading into the investment phase right now. We've already done the design phase, and we're heading into development. And that is going to be a rights marketplace for sponsorship for teams and leagues across the region that's accessible to brands and the agencies that represent them.
Hey, Jamie. Adrian here. You mentioned their esports. Of course, we've seen some exponential growth in the last few years. Now, in terms of your company, what gaps in the business are you trying to fill?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the challenge at the moment is we're seeing a huge disparity between the amount of investment from consumers, both in time and capital in gaming, being reciprocated by brand investment. There's clearly such an opportunity gap, and it's quite reflective of what we saw in the coined year of mobile, where there was just a vast amount of consumer time invested into the channel, but very little opportunity for brands, or rather brand traction in the channel. So what we're really seeing is a way to close that gap through consultative services and also technologies.
Right. I do wonder, you know, with all of this going on, how much of a part does it play eventually when you see more major tournaments start to integrate competitive video gaming or esports alongside traditional sports? Obviously, the only difference is that one takes place entirely online. How much of an edge does that give us to the rise of this particular market?
So what we're seeing in heavy sporting markets, in particular North America, is as traditional sports audiences age out and age up, esport is being used as a supplement and a complement to a younger audience and bringing them into the fold. We've seen really notable partnerships in this area. In particular, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain football team, have struck a series of partnerships with regional esport teams to really project their brand into these new spaces and to grow a younger base of fans for PSG overall.
I like that you bring up younger base, because you see even at the Olympics with skating and some of the extreme sports, even share prices of those companies that provide the equipment increase because of these young Olympic winners. It really a whole new target audience.
Yeah, one of the best events of the Olympics. And, it's just so good to see refreshing as well. I think that's what the Olympic Committee were going for as well. Jamie, I want to quickly talk about partnerships and how it works. What are you doing to make sure that these partnerships, achieve the level of growth that it can?
Yeah, so partnerships ultimately can be viewed through several lenses. So the first of all is a values level. So ensuring that if you're a brand or a company and you're going to partner with another one, such as an esport team, that at the values level there's congruence, and that you're going to be able to tell your brand story through the activities of this team. So the second lens that we'd have a look at is value. So we would assess what that opportunity costs relative to other similar opportunities. So if you think about lining up all of the different esport teams and all the different esport tournaments and developing an index of pricing relative to return, that's something that we look at as well. And then finally, because this area is growing at such a clip, we want to make sure that there's a sufficient velocity of growth. So if you're striking a partnership at the beginning of 2022, you want to know that by the end of 2022, you're actually getting incremental value from that partnership, because in fact, the audience base or the engagement base has grown.
Jamie, you're talking about these partnerships, right? What if, and you mentioned brand and growing a brand, what if the brand is an individual? For example, what kind of value are we looking at, say, if we look at the LeBron James Fortnite skin?
I love this. So what an incredible opportunity. It builds on as well the concert series that they're doing. Mm. So we've seen Travis Scott, we've seen Marshmello, I believe we can see Ariana Grande, and these are just partnerships of the future. I think actually more applicable for our region, specifically because Fortnite is a title that is played more in North America, Western Europe, and in Australia. For Southeast Asia, we have a really notable example in this area, and it is the use of Ronaldo in a game called Free Fire, which was produced and published by a Singapore company called Garena.
Yes.
And in that, Ronaldo had a character called Kronos, which is predicated upon his absolute speed, as you can imagine. And the way that that deal was constructed, as you can imagine, if you're trying to get Ronaldo out of bed, it could be a very, very high-value deal. But this, in effect, is distributing Ronaldo to new potential fans all over the world. And similarly, it's using Ronaldo's brand to propagate out Free Fire as a game to new audiences and make it relevant.
Yeah, that costume is ridiculous though.
Yeah, Ellis just showed me that photo. Never in a million years I would have thought seeing Ronaldo in a game like that. It is quite something for the eyes. Jamie, I'll talk about opportunities with gaming partnerships. There have been quite a few collaborations, you've mentioned a few there, that have created a lot of buzz. What opportunities lie for partnerships?
So at the moment, we are beginning to enter a new phase of esport and partnerships. And I think we also need to draw a line between sponsorship and partnership. Sponsorship is predicated upon the exposure of a brand logo to an audience and understanding the value of that exposure and the value of that audience. Partnership goes beyond this. So partnership is about the partner creating content which will extol the virtues of the brand. And this is a really, really emerging and exciting area. And particularly so in esport, because we're now at the phase where you're beginning to see household brand names come into esport. The first phase of esport was all what we call endemic brands. So the likes of the Logitechs, the Dells, and the HPs. But now we're in a really exciting space where we're seeing Mercedes, like Pepsi, KitKat come through. All of these brands are really finding moments and opportunities to create value for esport audiences.
How does COVID-19 factor into this? And I'm just thinking out loud here that, you know, with the potential of people putting hygiene, health and safety as their own personal top priority, the fact that we can enjoy all of this and still see that commercial value, could it ever be on par as, say, like a World Cup, for example?
That is a wonderful challenge to have.
It's complicated.
I mean, from my perspective, I have a background in media. And when I look at the figures of the World Cup, I can see that it's predicated upon broadcast. Mm. And broadcast is frankly really difficult to track the true viewership of. Whereas if you're looking at esport, you are able to see a one-to-one direct relationship between the server hosting the content and the viewer.
Okay.
So I think that we're beginning to knock on the door already. The challenge is that we don't have as universal a single game as football. So, yeah, I think we're heading in that direction in terms of audience size and impact. But as with what happened with TV, we saw fragmentation of choice, fragment audiences. I think we're going to see exactly the same thing, that we're not going to have one single blockbuster World Cup football equivalent in gaming and esport. I think we're actually going to see multiple ladder up to that sort of size.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually guilty of watching a few of those streams. I've seen some of those FIFA tournaments, and you know, they're quite something to see. Jamie, in terms of the future of gaming partnerships, do you think that gaming and esports partnerships need to be regulated?
I think regulators have a role and responsibility when it comes to ensuring the safety of audiences. And by that, what I mean is, if we look at alcohol brands, and particularly spirits, if we look at gambling brands to a degree, if we look at some of the Forex brands out there right now, I think authorities have a role at the national level to define what is right for their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a healthy place to come in with regulation. I think an unhealthy way to come in with regulation is for entire industry bodies made up of people who don't actually come from the industry trying to define these, because they don't necessarily know what's right for it. And the other thing that I'd like to call attention to is, when we talk about the World Cup and traditional sport, nobody owns the sport, whereas obviously in esport, the publisher of the game actually owns that sport.
Right.
So we have a real job to be done in terms of making sure that the publishers are acting in the best interests of players.
Just a final question, Jamie, and it's a follow-up from what Adrian was talking about, where the future of gaming is concerned. I mean, with Netflix announcing that they're going into gaming, particularly mobile gaming, we're still trying to adjust to the world of gaming. Jamie, being in the industry, what's the excitement around this, and what's the expectation in terms of how this entire sector could evolve?
This is an incredibly broad topic. I've got two thoughts on it. So one is, what I can see from the data that we have access to is that Netflix is beginning to lose share of total entertainment time to games. And this was reflected in Reed Hastings' quote, I think last year, maybe the year before, where he said, "We're more worried about Fortnite than we are about HBO."
Wow.
So actually, compounding that hypothesis is the fact that they're coming out with these games and saying they're going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not looking to make incremental value out of them. What they're doing is looking to claw back entertainment time that I believe they've lost to games.
We've been speaking with Jamie Lewin, who is co-founder and CSO for Mana Partners. Jamie, really appreciate your time this morning. What an interesting conversation. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thanks very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.